So the difficulty of uncoupling the 8 years of the Bush policies on the war on terror is evident in what's going on with the Uyghurs. You may remember that the Chinese, 17 of the Chinese Uyghurs were at Guantanamo Bay, and where to send them if Guantanamo Bay closes is still an issue. And joining us now is George Clark, a lawyer with Miller and Chevalier. He represents two of the 17 Chinese Uyghurs who are still in custody at Gitmo in Cuba. George Clark, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Good morning.
All right. Welcome back to the program. Let me just sort of sketch out where we are in this limbo, which has been going on since 2006. China will take the Uyghurs back, but they don't want to go to China, for they fear they're going to face persecution for being Muslims and their ethnicity and other issues. But China doesn't want them to go anywhere besides China. And where is this likely to go, and what options does the administration have at this point, George?
Well, I mean, practically, it seems that the administration has one option, which is bring them to the United States. If the president is serious about closing Guantanamo within a year, that means in less than a year, everybody who was a detainee is going to have to be out of there. That includes the Uyghurs. And if they don't have any other place to go, there's only one place for them to go, is the United States, because the United States can't make another country take them.
But will China allow them even to stay in the United States? And what would be so wrong with them staying in the United States? And who's against it?
Well, first of all, there is nothing wrong with them staying in the United States. The U.S. military, the Department of Justice, and the United States court have all determined that they haven't done anything, that they're non-enemy combatants in the lingo, and that more than that, they're not dangerous to the United States or any of its interests. So last time I checked, China doesn't run our foreign policy. So it should be up to the administration to just make that choice, make that decision, I should say, and pull them into the U.S.
George, that's exactly my question. Do the Chinese have any legal basis for making demands on where these Uyghurs go or don't go? Or is this a political potential consequence for whoever it takes them?
It's a totally political consequence and issue. And the reason why a lot of the European countries don't want to take them at this point, from what we've heard, and obviously we're not involved in any diplomatic negotiations, we can't be. What we've heard is that the Chinese have put an extreme amount of pressure on all the European countries and Canada, on Australia, on all the sort of common suspects that you'd expect to take somebody that needs refuge.
But if the U.S. recognizes that they're going to be persecuted, it would seem a policy matter for the U.S. to actually take them. It seems to me the hesitation relates to setting a precedent for other people at Gitmo, and that's a can of worms they don't necessarily want to open. What are you arguing to the administration right now, George?
Well, what we're arguing to the administration right now is that it's completely within their discretion. And it doesn't set a precedent. I mean, the fact that the executive exercises what it believes is its unilateral discretion, we have questioned as to whether that is, in fact, unilateral discretion, and we've argued that in the D.C. Circuit. But if the executive sticks with its position that it has unilateral discretion to bring whoever it wants in the United States, then let it exercise that discretion with respect to these 17 men, and it doesn't set any precedent for anybody else.
Is there any echo in this controversy of what happened after Vietnam, when you had whole communities of Vietnamese on all sides, and Laotians and Cambodians, who grew up in urban areas all over the United States, regardless of their political affiliation after the war?
This whole issue echoes back to whether we really are a country of immigrants, which I think we are. and that's a good example. The Mariel Boatlift people from Cuba are a good example. The Haitians that fled Haiti, and many of them made it to the United States, are another good sort of recent example that people might be familiar with. So absolutely, I think the question, you know, the United States is supposed to be a beacon of freedom, and we're supposed to be.
Well, George, although some might take issue with Gitmo being an Ellis Island of the 21st century.
Well, you could view it that way, except for Ellis Island was really sort of a harborage. At least that's the way the cases looked at it. It wasn't a prison. And we all know that Guantanamo is a prison. And let there be no mistake that these 17 men are not just sort of being harbored and temporarily sort of postponed in their journey in Guantanamo. They were brought there as prisoners, and they remain there as prisoners.
Have they expressed a preference of where they want to go, your clients?
No, not particularly. They just want to go someplace where they will not be subject to persecution, someplace that China will not be able to get access to them and persecute them or bring them back to China and persecute them, and just someplace that they can live their lives. I mean, both of my clients want to, you know, do what everybody else wants to do, you know, earn a living, get married, have children, things like that.
But is there a community of Uyghurs already in North America somewhere that you know, I'm not aware of that would be a natural place for them to go?
Well, the United States would be a very good place. In Washington, right where I am, there is a community of Uyghurs. There also is a community, if you talk about just North America, there's a community in Canada. And so both Canada and the United States would seem to be logical options. There's also a community in Germany and one in Australia. So there are, and I'm sure many other places as well. So there are certainly communities spread around the free world.
And as was the case after the Vietnam War, you know, you can look forward to Uyghur restaurants, perhaps in those communities. George Clark, thanks so much for joining us. He's a lawyer with Miller and Chevalier. He represents two of the 17 Chinese Uyghurs in custody at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, defendants who are still in a state of political limbo. Thanks, George.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.